Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Thank you for listening to Overleveraged, where we explore the big macro themes affecting investors, economic imbalances, giant geopolitical trends, tail risks and tremors, and everywhere risks are not being fully priced into markets. Remember, trading carries risk, and all opinions are provided as general market commentary only. Please do your own research. Our risk warning will follow at the end.
Reasons to be cheerful. Reasons to be cheerful. Reasons to be cheerful. Reasons to be cheerful. 1, 2, 3.
Hello and welcome to Over Leverage, where we are feeling cheerful. As always, I'm with John Heumann from Vox Bump Markets, who's back to discuss Ian Jury, Reasons to be Cheerful. No, seriously though, the reason.
I think you've picked the wrong person for this podcast.
Well, I'm known for my cheery disposition. So what we're going to talk about, in all seriousness, is the UK and why we should not be so doom and gloom about it. Do you think it's wise?
I mean, you know, there's a lot of UK bashing that goes on. It's a national sport, isn't it?
Yeah, it always has.
We love to bash ourselves. We love to moan about everything. We love to moan about the weather.
Yeah.
We love to moan about how awful the NHS is. We love to moan about how terrible our politicians are. We just love it.
Yeah. But is it fair? And I think, well, the UK economy, you know, I guess we're going to have to look at the... We're talking mainly about the economy here. We're not talking about the, you know, England and Scotland football teams and how well they might do this summer. It does matter though, because those do have an economic impact. Yeah. They can do. Then a good England run can help. Help the economy. But besides the point. Maybe I think, you know, the pound has not had a great time of it. Obviously, for a few years. The FTSE, as we discussed in our "What's Wrong with the UK Stock Market" podcast, has lagged global peers for various reasons, but has hit a record high, and maybe things are picking up. So we've got ING. They're the Dutch bank. Their UK economy starts to rebound as growth outlook brightens. And Deutsche Bank was actually out with a note in January. So we're going to run through some of these and see what you think. So there, okay. Deutsche Bank, this was in January. They said reasons to be cheerful. Number one, subsiding inflation.
Wage growth is a bit sticky.
There are some
inflationary pressures coming out of the system. Yes, there is some hope on that front. Not to say that prices are going back down.
No, but that's, I mean, inflation is not a measure of prices.
It's price growth. Yeah. So, you know, things are still a lot more expensive than they were. And, whilst we are seeing sort of evidence of wage growth, you know, we're not necessarily seeing real wage growth.
Are we seeing real wage growth?
I think it depends where you are.
So I've got the latest ONS figures. So real average weekly earnings growth is 1.6% with bonuses and 1.9% without bonuses.
Okay.
Nominal earnings running about 5.5% to 6%.
Reasons to be cheerful. Don't know, where's this happening? I'm not seeing it.
No comment. So, but you know, inflation has come down. So it's peaked around 11%. Sort of, when was that? 2022, tail end of 2022, and declined all last year, mm-hmm. In line with other economies, in line with Europe in particular. Falling energy bills being a big
price
factor.
Kept coming down.
So that's point two for Deutsche Bank. That was there. So falling energy bills is key. I mean, but the there is underlying core inflation that's a bit sticky. Services inflation that is a bit sticky, but the wage growth is compensating.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I've just got a new office up in London, you should have warned me, Neil, about the price of pints.
No, what it is in Suffolk.
No, it's not. you're right.
Did you actually buy one?
What, in London?
Yeah,
I've bought several.
I should have been there. Should have taken a picture.
Well, I need to take out a mortgage. But no, you're right. Inflation is subsiding.
Yeah.
so that is obviously a net benefit to the economy. That's money that can get spent. That's disposable income potentially. They're that can support the retail sector or the travel and leisure sector. So yeah, that's a positive.
So we've got,
and they are sectors that have been absent.
So we've definitely got. So I can tick. I can do tick.
Tick that.
Falling energy bills definitely. Yeah, although oil prices have. Picked up a little bit pace.
Again. Yeah, you see it at the pump. You know, you do see 10p more expensive.
And that will feed into inflation. So the base effects, base effects, which are basically the, what happened the year before, kind of coming out of the system, they've been quite good recently, but base effects might start to be a problem later this year. So that's maybe why the Bank of England is quite cautious.
Yeah, well, one of the big inflation,
as wage growth.
Talking of cars. I recently had my insurance renewal through. Now, there's a few reasons. Yeah. There's a few reasons.
I got a text from my wife today. She's livid.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Now, I have a few reasons why my insurance bill might have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
but it went up quite a lot, mm-hmm. and you know, and I knew that this isn't just down to my excessive speed. This is down to the fact that all insurance, premiums have gone up quite significantly. So there is a big inflationary factor there. Obviously, not the biggest chunk of earnings, mm-hmm. biggest chunk of household spending rather. But nevertheless, it's not there.
The food and the sort of the super core type stuff like your groceries.
No.
Grocery.
Well, it is core because you can't drive without it. You can't get around without it.
No, true.
So there are still, you know, there's a few little inflationary niggles in the system.
But by contrast, shop price inflation, so your groceries, that's fallen from 2.5% in February to just 1.3% in March.
Yeah.
So that's really come down compared to what we were seeing before. You know, it was up at like 16, 17, 18% or something to not that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And we saw some really good numbers from Tesco, for example, last week before.
Every little helps.
Every little helps. Yep.
Oh, yeah. So I just got a text from my wife today saying that the car insurance has gone up £200 to 1,100 quid or something. And someone I follow on Twitter saying, you know, 47% increase. I mean, it's anecdotal, but it's definitely gone up. I don't know the exact figures we could get, but it's higher. So that's a downside. So that's maybe...
Cross.
Should we do a cross?
Just annoys
we could have a. We need a chart. We need a leak table or something.
Just annoys people, doesn't it?
Real wage growth, right? We've done that. That's good. What did I say? 1.9% real wage growth. And ING, I think, and others suggesting that real wage growth will continue for a couple of years.
I mean,
that's key. I mean, that is good.
There is a flip side to the wage growth issue, and that is. You know, the nature of the workforce. You know, we do have staffing issues.
Mm-hmm.
And they're particularly pronounced in certain sectors of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So hospitality,
mm-hmm.
very, very difficult
to
find staff at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's a Brexit effect. Maybe it's just that we have, you know, young people don't want to work in bars for £10 an hour anymore, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So you know, wages have to rise to address these staff shortages, but that doesn't solve some of the staff shortages that we have throughout the economy, and that obviously affects, you know, certain companies' ability to perform. You know, if you're short staff, you can't generate the revenues.
Keeps inflation a bit higher, but also reduces the potential output of the economy, which is that's what stagflation. That's a stagflationary kind of situation,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's. I think
so. We need more Liz Truss style supply side reforms.
I'm not going to go that.
I've been trying to get her on. I've been trying to get her on the podcast. I've been asking Helen to try and work her magic to get her on.
Surprised you haven't. But no, I think that's a genuine concern that businesses are finding themselves short of labour.
Yeah,
putting up wages to try and attract labour, yeah. And that's what we're seeing, but not necessarily successfully filling all the vacancies that they have.
No, and unemployment has gone up, the latest ONS data. Mm. So it was, you know, that latest data from the ONS in terms of what we think the Bank of England might do, and this is going to come on to, yeah, prospective interest rate cuts. That's another. So that's the next reason to be cheerful. We think the Bank of England will cut rates. The worst of the mortgage shock is over. So, you know, better days ahead for borrowers.
You would hope so. I mean, we were seeing sort of mortgage rates offered coming back.
Yeah.
Anyway, from sort of some of the peaks that we saw. Mm-hmm. And obviously, that's in anticipation of there being interest rate cuts in the future.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, has the benefit of that already happened?
Well, I mean, I guess yeah.
What needs to happen is competition. You know, it's competition for house purchases. For people who are seeking mortgages, banks have to compete with one another. That's what brings the rates down.
Yeah,
people actually need to go out there and want to get a mortgage.
But I thought there was a shortage of supply. I mean, if there's just a shortage of supply, but supply and buyers.
I think a lot of the problems with the UK are because everything's in the wrong place. So, you know, you might have labour over here, but the jobs are over here. You might have a lot of houses, say, Lowestoft,
yeah.
which are very cheap, but people want to live in London and work in London, where housing stock is in short supply and very expensive. So actually, a lot of the problems we have in the economy, oh God, I'm going back to sort of Liz Truss style issues. Everything's in the wrong place.
Yeah. Well, I guess it is in the wrong place, yeah, because it was all built for a different world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've not really changed the way, you know, we're not as dynamic as other countries can be.
No, so we lack two things that would solve some of these problems. One is that, you know, we don't have a distributed economy, really.
Right.
London is.
This is all sounding not very cheery.
I'm not very cheerful, am I? You supply the cheerfulness.
All right, I'm gonna cut you down there because we're only gonna be cheery. So prospective interest rate cuts, yes, 50 basis points is the market.
Not sure whether that solves the housing market issues, but there you go.
No, maybe some more help to buy. That would. So, but that leads us on to
the,
that leads us on, you know, election. And the reason I'm saying election first is because the next thing here is tax cuts. So, because of course the two go hand in hand. We've had national insurance cuts, not income taxes per se, but in national insurance, which is just as good. In fact, probably quite good for getting people working, is maybe a stronger lever on the labour market in terms of making it appealing for people to work. So tax cuts, though. I mean, we think, you know, there might be some more.
Well, I mean, there is, as you say, there's an election coming, and you know, we not at our most taxed level since.
Yeah, I mean, they can't really go much higher. They can't no. Without, you know.
No.
Killing the golden goose.
Absolutely. So you know, so reasons to be cheerful. We've got an election on the way. It might prompt some.
I don't think an election on the way
prompts some tax cuts.
And then Labour will hike them again.
So
I don't know. Yeah. Fair enough. An election on the way is not a reason to be cheerful.
Well, it depends what you want, isn't it?
Well, I don't think anyone wants any. I mean, I don't think anyone's particularly enthralled.
No, they're not. But yeah, so tax cuts. But the problem with tax cuts is that, you know, we have a lot of spending commitments. So
yeah, and I think Ken Clark was out with something the other day about, you know, Labour's going to inherit the worst situation in 70 years, you know, or the next government will inherit just as bad a situation as there's ever been.
Without the outgoing treasurer can leave a note in their drawer, can't they?
So that's not very cheery.
No.
That's on the debit side. But better than expected public borrowing. We have seen that. Borrowing hasn't been as bad as feared. Whether or not it's still on, you know, these sort of figures are quite massageable.
I always feel the government figures are quite massageable.
Yeah.
And you know, we're still very much a deficit driven economy.
Yeah, and it's twin deficits that are the killer for the pound. And I want to come to sterling, because obviously we want to keep it vaguely about the markets and, you know, investing and so on. But so we'll come to the pound in a minute. Optimism on house prices, that's another one. So now, we have seen a bit more optimism. Well, that was Deutsche's, Deutsche Bank.
Okay, optimism on house prices, what, that they're going to go up?
Well, so the number of approved mortgages rose in February to the highest level since 2022 mini-budget, created the market. So back to Liz Truss. So the housing market maybe is recovering. Certainly, in terms of mortgage approvals, are picking up, which obviously ties into the fact that interest rates have come down a bit.
Housing is a funny one because are rising house prices something to be cheerful about?
Well, it depends.
So that depends. Whether, if you own a house, possibly yes. If you don't own a house, it's a disaster.
And that's very much isolating groups of people. You know, the economy is working for some people, but not for others.
That's how it feels.
And that's how it's been for probably a while now.
Yeah, we have a multi-speed economy.
Yeah,
I would say, and you know, some things that are positive for one group are not positive for another. Rising house prices is not something I would be cheerful about. You know, when you consider how stretched affordability is these days, you'd have to have some serious wage growth to close that gap, and then you'd be in an inflationary nightmare.
Yeah, so you know, better house prices good if you've got if you're the one third of homeowners who owns a house outright, which is retirees. It's good if you've got a mortgage because, you know, you've got more equity, which gives you a bit more leverage when you come to refinance. But for everyone else, it's less than ideal.
Yep.
So cheery for some. We should have started this with like a, you know, retired couple. Family, young people, you know, because it is different for everyone. I think that's the thing that all the data, and we always talk about data, and it's impossible not to when you're in the markets and, you know, this sort of output of podcasts and, you know, you talk about data, but actually it's so diverse that it's really impossible for the data to really capture it.
Yeah, there's too much reliance on data, but, you know, it's why we often talk about it as anecdotal evidence, anecdotal experience, and I do think that's quite important. It gets neglected.
Yeah,
in favour of sort of economic science.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't have a homogenous economy at all. Mm-hmm, we don't have a homogenous society at all. So which is not necessarily a bad thing either. It renders these stats very, very sort of hard to make any sense of. Mm-hmm, they're not the experience that many people have, put it that way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess that might feed into the election later this year and the sort of polling data. And, it, you know, the polling data might not be 100% accurate or as good as it might be because people are having such different experiences.
Yes, exactly. Now, you know, and now I'm going to take this back to markets and the stock market because, you know, we sort of referred back to the podcast we did about, you know,
what's wrong with the UK
stock
market?
What's wrong with the UK stock market?
Yeah, which was good. Yeah, that was...
Yeah,
it's been a good
You know, there's been a lot written about that since because we've seen, you know, more and more delistings.
Yeah.
More takeovers of companies on the cheap.
Dr. Martin's latest.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah, Temu are there. Look at it.
It had a bit of a bad day the other day.
Yeah, they did. You know, we're seeing lots of sort of bad news stories from certain ends of the stock market, the small cap end mainly, but large cap's doing all right.
Yeah, at a record high on the FTSE.
Not a homogenous thing. Not a homogenous thing. But the reality is, you know, and I sort of go back to something we spoke about that, which is that, you know, there are loads of really good companies in the UK listed on the stock market. There's a reason some of them are getting taken out. It's because they're good. It's just that they're priced too cheaply.
Yeah.
And you know, private equity or private buyers sniff an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Large swathes of the UK economy have nothing to do with the stock market.
Yeah.
You know, only in the, perhaps the loosest sense if they're held through private equity vehicles that you could buy on the stock market.
I guess there's a fair chunk of the 250 though that's, you know, quite retailers and sort of, you know.
Yeah, but look around and you see, you know, for every retailer that's listed, there's probably one that isn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's owned by a private equity backer or a private company. So, and as I say, there were lots of really, you know, lots of innovative things happening in the UK at its universities, in life sciences, you know, as as I can never help coming back to. You know, there's a lot to think. Well, there is a foundation of a brilliant, vibrant entrepreneurial economy, which really isn't, you know, I don't think the stock market necessarily reflects it. The performance of the stock market reflects that, or the performance of the economy.
No. What about Sterling? My feeling is that there's a lot of good things here. I think, you know, there are reasons to be cheerful. There is better data. And a lot of the bad news is pretty well priced into the pound. Mm. You would think that things should be picking up. But I think I might have said that 3 years ago. Might have said that 5 years ago. And, you know, it's actually maybe, you know, a multi-year sort of range, which I think is also something that I might have alluded to in the past, which is that basically the pound will trade between 120 and 130 against the dollar. That's its range now.
Yeah.
And all this reasons to be cheerful are kind of on the margin. They're not necessarily, it's great productivity growth. They're not like the big productivity kind of CHIPS Act and Inflation Reduction Act, all these massive fiscal moves in the US, for example, which is really boosting their economy. You know, that's not happening here. And
no,
the question is, will Labour, if they come in, assuming they get in, will they do something that's akin to that, to really drive productivity?
Well, so far I've not really heard anything concrete. You know, where is that sort of Wilson-esque, you know, white heat type speech that says, my goodness, they have a technological vision for the future. Mm-hmm. And that's gonna really change.
Yeah, because even that that big green 28 billion or whatever it was, they've watered that down completely. But I think we talked about this a bit in a previous podcast with Helen, and I think there's a sense that actually this incoming Labour government, assuming they get in with a big majority, which they might, could be quite revolutionary. That actually their economic policies are genuinely very left-wing, very statist. Now, that implies all sorts of problems for the entrepreneurial, you know, spirit and taxation. But I think we're entering a more statist kind of world. I think, you know, governments are having to be more interventionist, run bigger deficits. Going back to stuff we talked about before about financing wars, financing, you know, an aging economy, financing immigration, financing everything. They've decided collectively to become more interventionist, more statist. I mean, look at COVID.
Are you trying to cheer me
How up, interventionist? Yeah, I know this has gone massively off course.
I'm going to go back again to, you know, the sort of a reason to be cheerful coming from the entrepreneurial culture of the UK, and that actually, whilst I refer to Harold Wilson and white heat, it didn't really work.
No,
you know, they created something called the National Enterprise Board to drive industry, which didn't really work.
Yeah.
You know, statist intervention in industry doesn't really work. Mm-hmm. And never has.
But they were looking at nationalising all the top 100 companies, you know, the top 30 companies or something at one point.
Yeah.
You know,
you know, what's driven innovation over the years is you know, small entrepreneurial companies. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about Apple and Amazon and, you know, Hewlett-Packard and Microsoft, they all started in sheds.
Yeah.
Literally.
But what were they, I guess, what were they born out of? You know, the 70s? They were, you know,
conditions. Like, they were putting a sort of petri. What America did, you know, in Silicon Valley, it's almost created a petri dish that allowed these companies to thrive. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think, you know, goodness me, we have strayed off topic, but you know, we need.
Well,
to
I think we decided not that. Well, it's cheery on the. It's quite cheery, and in some very, you know, frothy in a frothy sense. We're not entering recession. Inflation is down. Blah blah blah. But fundamental structural reforms and changes and productivity gains are just not happening.
No, and again, I don't think, you know, the intervention at a high level is the way to achieve them, to unlock them.
But it might be the path that a new government opts for, with the backing of the sort of global sort of Western agenda is becoming more interventionist, as we saw with COVID. Yeah. I mean, that
worked well, didn't it?
Yeah.
No, I believe in the individual. I believe in the power of the individual.
Yeah.
and you know, and to put faith in mankind's entrepreneurial spirit. That's how we're problem solvers.
Yeah,
that's what we do. Mm-hmm. That's why the stock market's trajectory looks like that. Not because.
Well, more government never solved anything. What's the Ronald Reagan quote? The scariest words are that anyone could say is I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
So you know, one thing that does what make me cheery is that actually people are really cross.
Yeah.
And you know, they're really cross about being taxed.
I think they should be more really cross. I think we should be more cross.
I think that's what we need. Yeah. People just need to get really cross. And well, so doesn't sound like cheery.
We need worse data then.
Worse data. Give me worse data so people get even crosser. So that actually we wake up and do the things that we need to as a society to deliver the economy that we want.
Absolutely. So the data is quite cheery, but underneath it all, it's really quite bad. And really, what we want is for it to be less cheery, and then we can actually fix the problems, the real problems underneath.
Yes.
There we go. And on that bombshell, thank you, John, as always. It's been a pleasure. I'm not sure if I'm happier or sadder after that, but I'm going to go away and prop up Diageo share price a bit more. And thank you for listening to Over Leveraged. Thanks to John, as always. And do follow us online, on YouTube, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Like us, follow us, and share us. Thanks for listening. Be the first to listen to Over Leveraged by following the Over Leveraged podcast directly on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. That way you can listen to our content as soon as it drops every Thursday. Thank you for listening. Remember, all opinions, news, research, analysis, prices, or other information is provided as general market commentary, not as investment advice, and all potential results discussed are not guaranteed to be achieved. The information may have been derived from publicly available sources, company reports, personal research, or surveys. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Trading carries risk of capital loss, and the service is available to professional clients only.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.